Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices, a program to address the ramifications of change and how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community. This program is an extension and production of Action for Healthy Communities and provided in collaboration with KCBX. The program is made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent, and I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker. This Sunday will be Mother's Day, and today's show is about recognizing and celebrating mom, motherhood, and the maternal bond, and parenting as we discuss the love, strength, understanding, patience, compassion, courage, and selflessness that it takes to be a mom. In my in-studio guests for today are Sarah Sullivan, who's from Parents for Joy. We'll be talking more about that program in just a moment, and Mona Aguilar with Promotores Collaborative of San Luis Obispo County. Today, you, the listening audience, are my third guest. We'd love for you to call in, share your stories about mom, grandma, godmother, adoptive mothers, like a mom, and what it's like to be a mom for you. And you could talk about joys, sorrows, challenges, funny stories. The show is live, and you can be a part of our discussion by calling in at 805-781-3875. Again, 805-781-3875. And Mona and Sarah, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you.
So what we'll do is we'll start by I want to talk about you ladies for a few minutes, because you're both involved in some very special things that I think the community can benefit from knowing more about. So Sarah, I want to go ahead and start with you. Parents for Joy, what is that?
Parents for Joy is a group of parents, friends, teachers of special needs children. We got together because we realized that there was not a safe and inclusive place for our children to play. So we got together, went to city council, proposed the plan to build an inclusive playground in Atascadero, and we just broke ground on May 1st.
That's fantastic. Yeah. How long now? Is there any special needs playground that your kids have been able to play at?
The nearest one that's a fully inclusive playground is in Salinas.
Okay.
The park that they just updated in Paso downtown.
Right.
They've added a few inclusive pieces. Same with one here in San Luis. I know Jack's Helping Hands is building one out on the Napomo Mesa, but there is no inclusive playground in our entire county.
And talk a little bit about, you have two sons.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about them.
We have two sons. My oldest son is Keegan. He's 10. He has cerebral palsy and autism, along with some other neurodevelopmental issues. And then our youngest is Xander, and he's a year old. And he has Down syndrome and was born with a heart condition. He has a feeding tube. They're both adopted. So we feel pretty blessed to be their parents. So being a special needs parent is definitely not where I thought I would be when I first started thinking about having kids, but that's my life.
And do you have any children that you have born?
No.
No. So
no.
This is your family.
Yeah, this is how we have a family. We go through adoption. We did foster care for a while and had a bunch of kids come through, which were our kids for the time that they were there. But my husband and I definitely feel drawn towards special needs children, and I mean, it's become our entire existence. Everything I do is for these two kids.
And your oldest son has been with you since he was how old?
Since he was born.
Since he was born.
I actually got to be in the room while he was born. Aww. So that was pretty exciting.
And did you know that he was?
No, we didn't know that there was anything different with him. The birth was normal. He left the hospital 2 days later. It was probably a couple months down the road we started to realize he's not meeting milestones. He's crying way more than a typical child. The doctors kept saying it was colic, but I knew something else was going on. With our second son, Xander, we were told ahead of time he has Down syndrome mm-hmm. and a heart condition. But we'd already gone through all the services and getting school stuff put together and therapies, so we kind of knew the road. So we were like, all right, we can take on a second one. Let's do it.
Yeah. So for the mom, she was unaware
no.
that the baby had any kind of issues.
No.
And this wasn't something that you set out to do.
No.
But so talk a little bit about what it In order for you to adopt a second child with special needs, there's something that locked in for you. What is that?
It's hard to explain. I mean, you don't meet all the same milestones, and it's heartbreaking to watch them not be able to keep up with their peers. But then when they do meet a milestone, or even we call it an inch stone, and it's just amazing. And yeah, the joy that they bring to your family. I mean, we didn't necessarily go into the second adoption thinking, oh, we're looking for a special needs child. But we didn't check the no box on the application. And when the agency contacted us and said there's a 2-week little guy that needs a family and he has Down syndrome and a heart condition, I mean, we were in the car that the next day driving to Arizona to go get him. So there wasn't a whole lot of thought to it. We were just like, yeah, that's supposed to be our kid. Let's go.
So. How long did it take for you to get the attention of city council and kind of get things moving on Parents for Joy? And was Parents for Joy formed in order to take this action?
Yes.
Okay.
We were just a group of moms that had had a mom's night out, and we're all special needs parents. And one of the moms said, have you guys ever heard of an inclusive playground? And we didn't have a clue what she was talking about. So we started to research it a little more, and my partner in this project, Janelle Allen, and I just said, let's go to city council. Let's propose it, see what happens. And the city was on board from the first city council meeting. They thought it was a great idea, needs to happen. The city we've been doing this for about 5 years, raising money for this. United Cerebral Palsy and Parents Helping Parents came and took us under their wing so that we could be a nonprofit and not have to go and get our own nonprofit mm-hmm. and all that. And we've just had help left and right. Kiwanis, Rotary, Optimist Club, I mean, all these different service clubs have come on board to help us out.
What's the anticipated cost of it?
It's about $1 million project. The equipment is very expensive. We have picked very specific equipment mm-hmm. to be accessible for everybody. We don't want to leave anybody out. The ground cover alone is $150,000 just because we're not using sand or wood chips. We're using something called poured-in-place rubber, so it's a solid but squishy surface.
Yes.
And, it's about $1 million project. We still need about $140,000 to complete it, but we did break ground on May 1st, which was huge.
And
the construction phase of things is kind of starting to go.
Talk a little bit more about the inclusivity. You've talked about the ground. So the ground mm-hmm. needs to be hard so that a child who's got difficulty walking or maybe only crawls mm-hmm. or is in wheelchair or on walker can get around. What are some of the other things in an all-inclusive playground?
excuse me. We've added a lot of swings and all different types of swings, just from your regular swing to ones that have harnesses that come down and help hold someone that might not have the trunk support to hold themselves up. Able to hold their head up mm-hmm. or hold on to the ropes of the swing. Mm-hmm. We have a big type of dish swing so that a child can lay down on it or multiple kids can go on it together. We've added in what's called a rock and raft, and it's a piece of equipment that a wheelchair can wheel right onto it, and then six friends can sit together mm-hmm. and they can rock back and forth so the child mm-hmm. doesn't have to transfer from their chair, because I know, especially if they're hooked to an oxygen tank or some other type of device, they can't necessarily transfer.
Right.
We've added a giant treehouse. That's our main feature, and it has ramps leading all the way up so that a kid in a wheelchair or with a walker that might not necessarily be able to climb a tree can feel what it's like to be like up in a tree. And we've added in a braille panel for visually impaired children. We've added in little panels that have sound for children that are visually impaired, different sensory stuff that you can touch and feel. Everything has been really meticulously picked so that we didn't leave anyone out. We put in a stainless steel slide for children with cochlear implants for hearing. Mm-hmm. They can't go down the regular plastic slide because of the static.
Oh.
We didn't know that until our design was almost finished. And then I found that out, and I'm like, well, we have to swap out one of those slides for a stainless one, and let's put it north-facing so it doesn't get as much sun. So, I mean, we put shade sails and a fence all the way around for the kids on the spectrum that tend to run mm-hmm. and don't hear you when you're calling them, and they can run right out in the road. A lot of my friends don't go to playgrounds specifically because they're
because
not fenced.
Mm-hmm.
The city wasn't as excited about a fence. They thought it might be a little intrusive, but we dug our feet in. We were like, no, that's super important. So every little piece was really researched and picked
for a
purpose.
What an incredible project.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And I mean, to see the kids come to our events and see our big giant posters of it and I want to come play there, I mean, it really – makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, most children who have special needs have not played on an all-inclusive playground.
Or any playground, for that matter.
Communities or any playground. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you and I were talking before the show that, you know, the having your child sit in wood chips in a wheelchair and watch the other kids play doesn't qualify as being on the playground.
No, yeah. It's very depressing to have your kid want to play with their friends and want to be included, and because they can't even get to the equipment, they just get to sit there.
Do you envision that this playground, too, will be really kind of illuminating for children who don't have special needs, who are able to see that there are adaptive things that people need, and to appreciate that a little bit more and learn from that?
Yeah, our goal on this, the whole inclusive part of it, is to have what we call typical children, neurotypical, playing next to ours, and just realizing that they're just children too. They deserve to have the same, the same that they have, the same playgrounds, the same access, that they're just kids. And then maybe they'll build some friendships. And then when they own a company when they're 20, maybe they'll hire someone with Down syndrome because they played with them at a playground once and they remember. So, I mean, that's the whole goal of this.
Right.
It's not just about playing. It's about building friendships, realizing that our kids are there. They're not, because a lot of times you feel hidden. We don't go out in public, especially if your child has behavior issues or they have equipment. It's really difficult. So, I mean, you don't know how many special needs families are really out there, and we hope that this will get them out of the house, you know, bring them out to play. You're not going to get judged. If you're, you know, 42-year-old man with special needs, come and play on our swing. We have one that goes up to 250 pounds for a weight limit, specifically so that they could come and play.
Yeah. That's great. That was another question I was going to ask, if adults can go, because obviously a lot of them may not have ever had the opportunity. It'd be a great thing.
Yeah. Well, and we also wanted adults. I mean, we met a man in a wheelchair, and, you know, he's been in a wheelchair all his life. He has children. His children are grown now. But when they were kids, he couldn't play with them at the playground. He got to watch from the sidelines. If they fell, he had to be like, come over here. I can't get to you. He couldn't push them on the swings.
Yeah.
So this isn't just for special needs children. It's for parents with disabilities, grandparents that might need a walker.
Right.
I mean, it's for everybody. It's for everyone to come and play. There's no sign on the gate that says you have to have special needs to come play here. It is for everyone.
Where's it going to be located?
It's going to be at Colony Park on Traffic Way in Atascadero by the community center.
Yeah.
The city has given us a big piece of land.
Great.
And once we get it built, it turns back over to a city park, and they will be responsible for the upkeep and maintaining it and security. So that'll be off my plate.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. What a great collaborative effort.
It's definitely been a group effort. It's not just me. A lot of people are like, oh, your parents for joy. No, it's a whole group effort, and it has taken 5 years of hard work. Bake sales is where we started, and now we're doing big events. And
it's hard to envision bake sales funding $1 million.
Exactly,
project.
And that's how we felt at the beginning of this. But we were like, we got to start somewhere. And then that led to big events with Kiwanis and big grant money coming in and really, you know, getting
that's
there.
Fantastic.
It's been an amazing journey.
That's incredible. This is Chris Kington-Barker, and you're listening to Central Coast Voices on KCBX, HD1 San Luis Obispo, KNBX, HD1 San Ardo, and KSBX Santa Barbara. A special day to honor mothers is celebrated on the second Sunday of May each year in the United States and India. And many other countries around the world also hold their Mother's Day celebrations at various times of the year. Today's show is a tribute to motherhood and the vast number of ways that mothers impact our lives and the world. My guests are Sarah Sullivan from Parents for Joy, Mona Aguilar with the Promotores Collaborative of San Luis Obispo County is here, and I would love for you also to join us with your stories or your memories or something that speaks to you about Mother's Day. You can do that by calling us at 805-781-3875. And I'm going to turn over to you, Mona, because Promotores is a program that has been going for a while now. Yeah.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
I'm so happy to have you here, because this is something that I've worked with Promotores in other areas, especially in rural health, and it's just a phenomenal bridge between the community and other agencies and resources. So just kind of describe really quickly the Collaborative of San Luis Obispo County, the Promotores Collaborative, is a community-based model of outreach that works to eliminate barriers between public and private organizations and underserved minority populations. Promotores are community volunteers who act as trusted liaisons between the underserved community and the services available to them. The main objective is to empower and support promotores to assist these communities in identifying their own needs, educating themselves, and seeking out resources previously thought to be unavailable or non-existent. So talk to me a little bit, Mona, about how you got involved in, because you're a lead promotora.
Yes, I am.
How did you get involved in being a promotora?
Well, my history, it's really long, but I went to take some classes in TIMA, Transition Mental Health Association, and I did my internship in promotoras, and then now I am a leader promotora. I'm really happy. I am learning a lot of this. This is a connection with agencies, with people. So we are the connection. Because many people doesn't know about these helps. And the agencies, it's a little hard to know about these agencies. Mm-hmm. And so our job is show these agencies. So we are in Paso Robles, in San Luis Obispo, in Oceano.
In Oceano,
yeah.
Okay.
So some people need something, like, for example, clinic. They don't have money or they don't have insurance or kind of. And we're looking for that kind of help. Or some people has with children with some problems. We're looking for that kind of agency. So, yeah, we are there for the people.
So you become, as a promotora, it's really about becoming part of the neighborhood, becoming part of that area and that group so that you can understand what it is they need or don't have, and then you can help them connect to those things that can help.
Yes, that's right. For example, when I go somewhere and I hear some people are looking for some help, and I go and ask what's going on, and the people, they are friendly. Some people are like, oh, what happened? Why you are asking me?
Oh, do they get suspicious or concerned?
Yes,
about?
But and then I explain to them, how can I help them? And then they are happy with me to telling me their histories about them, what is going on, or what they are needing. So, that's my...
And the promotoras are serving the Latino community.
Yes.
And so sometimes there's a language barrier.
Yes, like my example.
No, you're doing really, really well.
Thank
you're doing
you.
Very well. But for you, what the importance is for you is that you are Latina.
Yes, I am.
And it's important that you can also understand some of the challenges that other people have. So it's also being trusted. You have to be trusted, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And sometimes, like you said, agencies have services that could help, but they never know them.
Yeah, that's right. For example, we have like binders with all information. So if I know somebody needs something special, I go in looking for this kind of help, and it's fast for us. The language, it's really hard because many agencies doesn't have
Spanish speaking.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So we have that that help.
Yes.
We have people who go and translate the other people. So the other thing, some people, they are afraid to go in that kind of agency because they are
undocumented.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's the big problem.
Yeah.
But they don't have to be afraid. We are here for help, that kind of problem. And the agencies doesn't care about that. So the agencies and we want to make feel comfort the people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't be scared or don't be afraid. Anyway, so yeah, that's the big problem for the community.
Are most of the promotores women?
Yes.
All of them?
We have, I think, two men.
Two men?
Yes.
But for the most part,
yes,
promotores are women.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think that it's natural for women to kind of pull groups together and to find ways of relating to communities and helping people get access to other kinds of care?
Yeah. I know some promoters. They have an experience, really hard experience.
Right, it's life experience, very
yes,
difficult, yeah.
So I think it's, we feel that, I'm not sure how can I say, but we had bad experience. So with that bad experience, we feel like I have to help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So if I was there, but I am not there anymore,
right,
I can help her or help him.
Yeah.
Because we are not like only helping women or
mm-hmm,
no, we help everybody, men or women.
If an agency, if you connect somebody to an agency and they don't have someone who's Spanish speaking, do you translate?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
very helpful.
Yes.
Okay. That's wonderful. What, you know, I'm curious back to you, Sarah. What, if anything, do you think it was in your upbringing with your mom that kind of led you to be who you are?
Excuse me. That's a good question. I wasn't really raised by my mom so much.
Okay.
My grandma, my dad's mom.
Okay, well, what was
they
it
took
with
us in?
Grandma?
She was just always there for us and never judged us and always let us do what we needed to do and be who we are, make mistakes. And I just always wanted to be a mom.
Hmm.
I mean, from childhood, that was something I definitely wanted to be a mom. And I always was drawn towards special needs children, even as a child. My brother was in some of the special needs classes, so I was around kids like that. They weren't weird to me or different. They were just kids. It wasn't necessarily our goal. It wasn't what my husband and I got married. I was 19. And I mean, it's been a while. It's been like 18 years. We wanted to have a family early. We tried. It didn't work out the way we thought it would. But once we became parents, it was just everything we always wanted. And, you know, my grandma is still a big part of my life today. And I really try and make sure that I can live up to her expectations of me and do better than my mom did, you know, not be there for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'm always there for them, and that's because of my grandma.
Hmm. That's really neat. How about for you? Who do you think was your inspiration, Mona, for who you are today and doing the kind of work that you're doing?
Well, it's a little hard. Because it's the same. I didn't grow in with my mom.
Mm-hmm.
But I have my sister. She's Maribel.
Is this your older sister?
Yes.
Older sister.
Yeah. She helped us a lot. Mm-hmm. We are nine.
You had nine children?
Yeah. Well, we are...
In your family.
Yeah. And, well, my parents has different things like us now. They had many problems before, so they get separate. And then my sister was our mama.
Your mama.
Yeah. So, yeah. And she's still my mama now.
She still is now.
Yeah.
So if you think of, you know, I need my mother, it's your mother's sister.
Yes.
That you kinda need.
Yeah. I think that's sometimes we fight, but it's okay.
That's okay. I fought with my mother too. Yeah. I think, you know, I think when we talk about mothers, there are so many people that are in our lives that are like mothers to us, mm-hmm. that you know, it's not necessarily just who bore you, but
yes.
Yeah. I'm going to I wanted to share something. This is I was looking up for today's show about Mother's Day and how it originated, because honestly, people may generally know this, but I never even thought about it. And a woman named Anna Marie Jarvis was seen as the founder of Mother's Day. She was the daughter of Anna Marie Reeves Jarvis, who was a social activist who organized events that were called Mother's Day Work Clubs. And those clubs were dedicated to reducing infant mortality, which in the early 1900s was really a problem. At the events, doctors were invited to hold discussions with mothers on how to keep their children healthy and educate them in the latest practices of hygiene and sanitation. A lot of what you do is a promotor, too. Yes. After hearing her mother recite a prayer I'll just say the prayer. I hope and pray that someone sometime will found a memorial Mother's Day commemorating her for the matchless service she renders to humanity in every field of life. And her daughter had heard her recite that, and not too long after she ended up dying, her daughter decided to try and start a day for that very purpose of commemorating the individual who renders themselves as a mom. And then on May 10th, 1908, they had their first public service at Andrews Methodist Church, where her mother taught Sunday school for 25 years. And she got sent a donation of 500 white carnations. And something that has happened for years has been the affiliation of mothers and flowers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was just me when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I used to, but apparently everybody else had the same idea. Thomas Woodrow Wilson, who was the 28th president of the United States, on May 9th in 1914, signed a proclamation commending untiring efforts by Anna Marie Jarvis, and then the United States declared Mother's Day. So had no idea.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah. You know, I just thought it, and I thought it was only the U.S.
I didn't know other countries.
Exactly.
Yeah, when you said that earlier, I was like, oh, wow, yeah, I didn't know other countries celebrated that too.
Absolutely, other countries. And you're listening to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Chris Kington Barker, on KCBX Public Radio, airing from Salinas to Santa Barbara and around the globe on the web at kcbx.org. Joining me are Sarah Sullivan from Parents for Joy and Mona Aguilar with the Promotores Collaborative of San Luis Obispo County. Today, we'd love to hear from you as a third guest, and we'd love to hear your stories about what's important to you, about your mom, your sister mom, mm-hmm. your grandma, and what it means to you, or maybe who inspired you? Who inspired you to be who you are? And what do you think are some of the important factors about being a mom? And do we put too much pressure on moms? That's my question. We've got two ladies here who do a lot for other people.
Yes.
And so I'm going to please do call us at Area code 805-781-3875. Again, 805-781-3875, and bring your voice to the conversation. So Sarah, what, you know, you are in a situation where you obviously, you don't just get up, get dressed, and get out the door, right?
No. 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 We're late everywhere we go. I tell people in advance, just expect us to be late. I mean, not only do we have two kids now, but they come with equipment. You know, it's not just get in the car. They can't buckle themselves in.
Right.
We have to load my son in his wheelchair up, and we have a wheelchair van that was gifted to us from an, oh, nice. From an agency. It was amazing. I mean, we never thought we'd be able to have one of those.
Yeah.
And then my other son, my youngest, has a feeding tube, so we have to make sure we get his feeding pump and, you know, all that kind of stuff ready. So it's definitely a process to get out of the house. And then if my oldest son, having autism, he can have meltdowns over nothing, you know, his shoe not feeling right on his foot or it right. being a Tuesday. We never know really what sets him off. So, yeah, it's definitely a process to get out the door. But we do. We get out. We don't stay inside. We try and expose them to life and expose life to them.
Do you ever feel like you've taken on too much?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's definite times that I'm like, what were we thinking? We can't do this. And then, you know, my oldest will give me a hug and say, I love you, Mama. And I'm like, all right, I'm good. Let's go. Yeah. And my husband is a huge support. I mean, he's my rock. He's not the dad that just comes home from work and is done. I mean, he takes off his work stuff and gets right into being dad and is on the floor playing with the kids and dealing with the meltdowns and changing the diapers and taking them. I mean, he's got both the kids right now while I'm here. And I'm like, I hope you're doing all right out there. But I know they're okay.
How do you take care of yourself?
I've not been so good at that. I definitely need to take more me time. I actually have some health issues because I didn't go to doctors and take care of things in a timely manner. It's something I work on daily. My friends are definitely the ones that are like, you need to go do stuff. Let's get a mom's night. Let's go have coffee. You know, you need 15 minutes away from the kids.
Yeah.
So thank goodness for my friends.
Yeah. Now, you have friends that have special needs kids
yes.
and those that don't.
The majority of my friends are
special needs
families.
So they know
yes.
how much is important
once,
to take
Once we
care
realized my oldest had special needs, a lot of the friends that I'd had from high school just kind of disappeared. They didn't know how to handle it.
Yeah.
They didn't know what to do with this kid that wasn't meeting the milestones, that was screaming all the time, that wasn't talking. So, you know, I was alone for a while there.
It's
but
isolating.
Once he started preschool at 3, they have a special needs preschool. The teacher actually put together a Facebook group for all the parents because she realized we were all in the same situation, not having anybody and feeling alone. She said, let's put you guys together. And now they're all my best friends.
That's fantastic. We're going to take a call here from Debbie. Hi, Debbie. Are you there?
I am here.
Thank you for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome. I was a very busy peace and environmental and anti-nuclear activist with People for Mothers for Peace in San Luis Obispo. And when I found out about the origins of Mother's Day, it was formed as a peace holiday originally by a woman by the name of Julia Ward Howe, H-O-W-E. And she was born in 1819 and died in 1910. And she wrote the Battle Hymn of the Republic. She was an abolitionist, a social activist, and particularly for women's suffrage. And she created Mother's Day because she didn't want women to lose any other men in her life, be it their sons, brothers, uncles, husbands, fathers in war. So Mother's Day started out as a peace holiday. And so when I found that out in the 80s, I had an event in Westwood and another one in Ventura called Mothers and Others for Peace, because it was so illuminating of the original purpose of Mother's Day was a peace holiday. So, yes, Jarvis continued it, and it blossomed from Jarvis, but Julia Ward Howe actually started it out as a peace holiday.
And, you know, there's one of the other pieces about that that's really kind of interesting and could be a whole show on that is there's been a lot of there was action taken by those founders to kind of dismantle it because they felt it got too commercialized.
Mm-hmm.
And it got away from the whole point of both Jarvis and Howe.
Right. So it's very broad and all-encompassing and global, and we need to recognize it now more than ever, and including representing and speaking for those who can't for Mother Earth, because, boy, does she need help now.
Absolutely. I'm going to need a lot more. Debbie, I appreciate you calling in with that information. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend.
You too. And we have Jeff. Hi, Jeff.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Terrific. Calling in for Sarah. You know, I think I may have missed a minute of the program, but she got this big award from, I believe it's First Five, for being an incredible mom that can juggle everything. And, you know, I think she needs to be recognized for that as well.
I think it's wonderful that you brought that up, Jeff, because it's not something that Sarah had shared on her own.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, no problem. Sarah doesn't like anybody to know that, you know, she's really good at what she does. And, you know, the playground definitely is a big part of her life and wouldn't be going forward without her. And she's like the most organized person I've ever met with everything she juggles. I don't know how she does it. And she was alluding to some of the fundraising going on. So I'm just going to add two things, that we have two big fundraisers coming up for the playground. One's the barbecue in the park on June 19th. And the other one is we have now teamed up with the Atascadero State Hospital's golf tournament, and they have designated us as their charity for the next 3 years.
That's great.
So the shortfall of the playground, of $130,000 now, is hopefully in sight. You know, out of $1 million budget, we're only trying to get another $130,000 to complete the thing.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. She was speaking well of you also, Jeff, in terms of she couldn't do what she does if she didn't have the kind of supportive husband that
Jeff
you are.
Jeff is not my husband.
Jeff
is my
one
of my big partners.
You're not her husband. Well, then no. I'm taking it all back.
Yeah, that's fine, too. The other thing I would say is you're talking about moms and influences. I would tell you that the most influential mom in my life wasn't really my real mom. She's my second mom, and she's incredible, and that's Mary Whelan, and she happens to be Marissa's mother-in-law as well.
Wow.
From your station.
Wow. That's fantastic. What was so special about her for you? What's something that she did that really inspired you, or something that was really inspirational about her?
She just did a lot of really good things. I ended up living on their property. She really was great at, you know, accepting who you were and helping you get through life. And, you know, she's a terrific lady even today. I try and see her about once a month. And, yeah, she's just an incredible person. And I think that's had a big influence on my life. And that's why we've gotten behind the playground, is just because it's a necessity. We don't have kids, but, you know, it's an all-inclusive, and it definitely helps everybody out.
Yeah, absolutely. From what Sarah was saying, it's a project that I think benefits just anybody. Mm-hmm. Absolutely anybody. I appreciate you calling in, and thank you for boasting a little bit about Sarah, because she wouldn't have done that for herself.
No.
Yeah, she's very modest, but thank you for having her on your program.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. We've got two. Both of you are modest about what you've been doing. How long ago did you come here, Mona?
In
the county?
Almost 9 years.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And what made you decide that you wanted to do the internship and all the things that you were trying to do?
Well, I'm going to tell to you about me a little bit.
Okay. I'd love that.
I have almost 9 years living here. It was really hard because in the start, the language and the people was like a core for me, because I didn't speak English and understand too. Nothing. And I was alone here. I didn't have sisters or any siblings
here. You came by yourself?
Yeah, with my ex-husband.
Okay.
I got married here, and he has, well, he has another child. He's more young. We had a lot of problems because his son was in drugs. I tried to help him, but my ex-husband doesn't like it that.
You weren't supposed to get involved.
Yeah.
Okay.
I went to ask in Tima when I did my internship. And they know me for a long time. When I went again, like last year, I went, and I forgot his name. He say, "Hey, I know you." And they recognize me because before I went to try to get help for my ex-stepson. So, and then I get my divorce for all that problems, drugs. So it was really hard because before my divorce, I had an accident, a car accident. Almost I lost my hand.
And I see that.
Yeah, it's a big scar. So my problems getting big with my ex-husband. So finally we are separate. And then I get help in women's shelter.
You went to the women's shelter.
Yes, they support me with therapies. I was there for like 7 years. Kind of.
7 years?
Yes.
In the women's shelter?
Yes. Last year, I start to open my hand because all the time, I was covering like this.
You decided to show your hand?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And you know your hand, it's noticeable, but it's not ugly.
Well, okay. When, before my therapist, the people makes me feel different.
Different. Mm-hmm.
So I went to looking for jobs many times, and people say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I can give you a job." So they makes me different. So
do you think it was because of your hand?
Yes.
You thought it was because of your hand?
Okay. Yeah, because sometimes I went like this, and then they see this part, and then they ask, "Oh, could you show me your hand, please?" And I had no option.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they say, "I'm sorry, I can give you a job." So I had a hard time to get a job. And after my divorce, I thought to move to San Diego. But my landlord told me, just stay here. We are gonna help you. I love them because I feel like they are my parents, and my place is very strictly because I can take friends in there or make parties or something like that. I can, but I feel comfortable.
You feel safe.
Yes.
You safe. Feel safe.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah.
And after all this, it was really hard, but in the women's shelter, I get support. And then last year, I went again to get some therapies, but they are full. They have many clients. So I went to looking for help in transition mental health, and they gave me classes there. I didn't get therapies there, but I get classes like suicide prevention. How can I say it?
Suicide
prevention.
Some words.
You're fine.
You're doing fine.
Yeah, that class helped me a lot because before I have struggles, and
because you felt so bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's really, it's unfair because people makes you different when you are the same, when you feel the same, when you can do everything. But, you know, people is people.
So do you take that into the work that you do? You've worked hard to become independent.
Yes.
And to learn new things. Do you take that to the people that you work with in your promotora work?
Yeah. Some of them, they know my story about mm-hmm. me. And I like when some people come and say, hey, you inspire me. So I like that.
You like that?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I say in the end, in the start, when we had a hard life, we feel like I want to help somebody because I know how she feels.
Mm-hmm.
I know how he feels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like me now. And now I want to be part of my community.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get my GED. I'm going to do this on August.
Mm-hmm.
And keep learning English because sometimes it's embarrassing if I don't say the correct word. But I want to be up. I want to be like a psychology mm-hmm. or family advocate.
That's great.
Yeah, either one.
One thing for you, I know English well, and I often say the wrong words. So,
it's, and now I am nervous. So it's like,
you're doing really well.
Yeah.
I almost always mess something up with my words. I've just gotten used to it. But you're doing extremely well. And you have one son.
Yes, I have one son.
What do you think is the big thing that you've taught him?
Gosh, when I came by myself. He was there with my mom
mm-hmm.
in Mexico.
Yeah.
And so I worked hard to save money to bring to him. I feel really proud of him because he learned his English was fast.
He learned it really quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes he married me because I asked him, hey, how can I say this word? And he told me that the word. And then 5 minutes later, I asked again. And he said, Mom, I already told you. So it's a little hard to speak.
But he's obviously got to be proud of you, too.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Good.
We are... He's my I all the time I say, you are my gasoline. And he say, you are my hero.
Aww,
so, yeah.
I like that.
Thank you.
That's really nice. I'm Chris Kington Barker with you for Central Coast Voices on KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio. If you just joined us and you want to hear this entire show, all local shows on KCBX are available on demand by going to kcbx.org and clicking on demand under the How to Listen tab on our menu. Then just pick the show you want in the drop-down box. You can listen to it then, or you can also listen to us on iTunes. Mother's Day is this Sunday and a time for celebrating mothers, surrogate mothers, mothers-in-law, and other women who we remember and have been inspired by. Voices in the studio with me today are Sarah Sullivan from Parents for Joy and Moni Aguilar with Promotoras Collaborative of San Luis Obispo County. We have about 13 or 14 minutes left in today's show. Would love to hear from you, what you remember about your mom or what you were inspired to do by her, or maybe what it's like being a mom for you. You can call us at 805-781-3875. And Shannon, are you there?
I am.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. So you're a mom.
I am. I am a working mom of three young boys.
Oh,
I have
boy.
An 8-year-old and twin 5-year-old.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
you even got a wow from the woman that takes care of two special needs kids.
Well, you know, as a working mom and three young boys, I get that reaction a lot. And I get, you know, oh, your hands are so full, and how do you do it? And I just, you know, and inspired by what you all are talking about, and the way that I do it is through a village of family members, and in particular, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law. But it's Mother's Day, so let's honor her.
Let's honor her, yeah.
Yeah. We are so lucky, so blessed, and it's been the greatest gift of parenting to have these folks, my husband's parents, come to our home every day and help take care of the kids and help shuttle them to school and, you know, soccer and activities. And that way I can come to work and focus and know that my kids are being loved and cared for, and which a lot of people have. But it's just so special to have that from their grandparents.
That is really cool. I'm glad. And, you know, Sarah was talking about the same kind of need for support that she receives from her group, from her tribe, as it is, of moms that have gotten together. Do you also find that you've got moms that support you as well?
Absolutely. I particularly have friends that support me in self-care. So we'll, you know, call each other and say, okay, I've hit a wall. Let's go do a spa day together, or go to the movies together, or go out and get dinner, much like she was talking about. Also, women that I can call or connect with and maybe do a little venting or problem solving regarding things that are going on with the kids in our life.
Yeah. Do you find, I mean, there's this ideal of what it's like to be a good mom. And we've been talking about good moms, and these are obviously good moms, and you too. But sometimes do you feel like not being such a good mom?
Well, yeah. Sometimes I just, you know, want to go to Hawaii all by myself.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
I also, as long as I've got your attention, I'd love to give a shout out to Parenting and Pregnancy Support, which is a local nonprofit that does offer emotional support and practical assistance to new moms and families. Because especially, I'm thinking back to when I had my first child, and it's so hard. Yeah. And it's just great that there's some support out there for new moms and, you know, families that are kind of just coming together.
Good shouting out.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, Shannon.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
And we have a special call for you, Mona.
Yeah, I see.
Maribel. Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Did you want to talk to Mona?
Yeah, well, yes, I want to say something for her.
Okay.
Mona, you are my model because you are so strong. And I'm so proud of you. You have been working a lot. I know you are so stressed for the last things that were happening. But you are the best. You are helping the people all the time. And even you are so tired, you don't have money sometimes, and I know it. But go ahead. You are the best.
Thank you.
I love you.
Maribel, tell us who you are for Mona. Tell us who you are to Mona.
I am like, she says all the time that I am like, her mom, and I am older than her. And yeah, sometimes we're fighting, and sometimes we are hugging each other. But yeah, even she's younger than me. She sometimes she's stronger than me too.
Well, she complimented you on the air by saying that you're both her sister and like her mother. So. I suspect that you two are very strong.
Well, yes. We need to be strong because we have just each other. Because we live the two of us in this country, and we need to support us.
Good. And you need other people to support you, too. And for you, Maribel, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you so much. You, too.
Thank you for calling.
Mother's Day to Sarah, that is there. I'm listening to the radio.
Okay.
And because I love all of you, mothers.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye, Mona.
Bye. Thank you so much.
I cut her off and I love you. Oh, no. She heard that. I want to thank my guests for today's show, Sarah Sullivan from Parents for Joy, Mona Aguilar with Promotores Collaborative in San Luis Obispo County. Next week, you can join Fred Monroe and his guests for another great topic. And Central Coast Voices is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities and the San Luis Obispo Community Foundation in collaboration with KCBX. The show is made possible through underwriting by Joan Geller Sargent. Your comments and suggestions for future shows are always appreciated. Please send them to voices@kcbx.org. I'm Chris Kington Barker. Thank you for joining me on Central Coast Voices. And thank you, Mona and Sarah, for your wonderful stories and for being who you are. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Thank you.